Good morning. A warm welcome to everyone in the sanctuary this morning and to everyone who's watching online today or later in the week. I would also like to extend a warm welcome back to Jean Porter, who will be conducting the service this morning. As always, Jean, it's lovely to have you with us today. Some intimations for your attention. Tea, coffee and biscuits will be served in the sanctuary following the service. Please join us for a further time of fellowship. Logie Kirk will be open from 2 to 4 every Sunday in July and August. Visit if you can, and refreshments are available. Prayer requests can be attached to the prayer tree or placed in the box in the McMichael Chapel. Requests for prayer can also be made online via the link on the church website. There will be a time of prayer in the McMichael Chapel following the service today. Volunteers to help with the serving of tea, coffee and biscuits on a Sunday are invited to put their name on the sheet in the vestibule. Russell is still taking part in the cycle 300 miles. You're just about there, Russell. Yes, good, good. If you still want to sponsor him, the sponsor sheet is still in the vestibule. Articles for the autumn edition of the Parishioner should be submitted by Sunday, the 17th of August. They can be emailed to parishioner@stinionsold.org.uk or left in the McMichael Chapel. And finally, the service next Sunday, it will be at the earlier time of 10 a.m. That's 10 a.m. And will be followed by the annual service of Kirkamuir at 12 noon. Everybody will be welcome. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship this morning in the old parish, and a welcome to our folks at home. Now, everyone, as they came in, were given a piece of paper. I'm hoping you've all got one. And the folks at home, if you would like to take part, if you can find a wee piece of paper, it doesn't matter what size it is, or even an envelope, and you can still join in. Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 138. We gather to give thanks to you, O Lord, with all our heart. We will sing your praises before all creation and rejoice in your steadfast love. You have created us, O Lord, and made us for yourself. In you we become everything you have made us to be. We sing to God's praise and glory in our first hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. It's number 519 in the hymn book, number 519. If we're able, let's stand to sing. Please be seated. Let us come before our great God in prayer. Let us pray. God of grace and God of glory, come and be known to us in our gathering together. Come and be present in the songs we sing and in the prayers we raise. From the busy byways of life, we come to find once again that you are always present and always ready to receive us. As we affirm our faith this day, deepen the roots of our commitment that we may learn your calling upon our lives. Surround us now with the love and comfort of your Holy Spirit and the direction and redemption of Christ. O Lord of mercy and compassion, in this hour of worship and prayer, forgive us our wandering wayward ways as we confess our sin and selfishness and ask for the strength to act as your true children, as your own people, the Church. Lord Jesus, you have said, seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Ask and it will be given to you. You have promised us grace and forgiveness when we turn to you in sincerity and truth. May we come home again and be the people that God intended us to be. In your name we pray. Amen. I'm delighted that Callum is going to come and share our first reading with us this morning.
The first reading this morning is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 to 13, and you can find this on page 61 of the Pew Bible. So that's Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. At one place after Jesus had been praying, one of his disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." He answered, "When you pray, say, Father, may your name be hallowed, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we too forgive all those who have done us wrong, and do not put us to the test." Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has made a friend who comes to him in the middle of the night and says, 'My friend, lend me 3 loaves for a friend of mine on a journey has turned up at my house, and I have nothing to offer him.' And he replies from inside, 'Do not bother me. The door is shut for the night. My children and I have gone to bed, and I cannot get up and give you what you want.' I tell you that even if he will not get up and provide for him out of friendship, his very persistence will make the man get up and give him all he needs. So I say to you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Those who seek find, and those who knock, the door will be opened. Would any father among you offer his son a snake when he asks for a fish, or a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you, as bad as you are, know how much to give good things to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Amen. I don't know about you, but I like knock-knock jokes. When I was at school, we loved to tell these to each other, and the ones that made us groan the most were voted the best. So if you've heard these jokes before, enjoy. Knock-knock. Boo-hoo. Why are you crying? Knock-knock. Lydia. Lydia Dustbin. That is my favourite. Here's a much more complicated one. Are you ready for this? Knock, knock. Yes. Banana. Knock, knock. Banana. Knock, knock. Orange. Orange, you glad I changed the subject. Okay, you can't get much worse than that, but never mind. The thing about knock-knock jokes is if I don't say, or someone doesn't say knock-knock, then nothing happens. No one answers. Jesus told his disciples that if they asked God to meet their daily needs, if they looked for him, they would find him. If they knocked on heaven's door, it would be opened to them. And God would give them the things they needed each day. But you have to ask. You have to look. You have to knock before anything can happen. And Jesus says when we do this, when we turn to God in prayer, then God will answer. He will do good things for us. All we must do is come to him in prayer and keep on speaking to God each day. And this is part of what the Lord's Prayer is about. It's a prayer we can say each day at home, or any time we're together as a church family, or here on a Sunday when we gather for worship. It's about honouring our Father God and asking him for the things that we and our world need. The food we need for survival, forgiveness for wrong thoughts, attitudes and actions, protection from the things that would harm us, including those we bring on ourselves. And it closes with words that recognise that God is the one who holds all things together, who is powerful and worthy to be worshipped. Let's say the words of the Lord's Prayer together now. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We sing again from the hymn book, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, number 547, number 547.
Thank you.
And now Callum is going to come and share a second reading with us now.
The second reading is taken from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 15, and you'll find this on page 179 of the Pew Bible. So that's Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 15. True and false teaching. Therefore, since you have accepted Christ Jesus as Lord, live in union with him, be rooted in him, be built in him, grow strong in the faith as you were taught, let your hearts overflow with thankfulness. Be on your guard, let no one capture your minds with hollow and delusive speculations based on traditions of human teaching and centred on the elemental spirits of the universe and not on Christ. For it is in Christ that the Godhead is in all its fullness dwells embodied. It is in him you have been brought to fulfilment. Every power and authority in the universe is subject to him as head. In him also you were circumcised, not in a physical sense, but by the stripping away of the old nature, which is Christ's way of circumcision. For you were buried with him in baptism, and in that baptism you were also raised to life with him through your faith in the active power of God who raised him from the dead. And although you were dead because your sins and your uncircumcision, he has brought you to life with Christ, for he has forgiven all our sins. He has cancelled the bond which was outstanding against us with its legal demands. He has set it aside, nailing it to the cross. There he disarmed the cosmic powers and authorities and made a public spectacle of them, leading them as captives in his triumphal procession. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Carl. We're going to sing again. This time we're singing My Jesus, My Saviour. We'll sing it twice. It's number 531 in the hymn book, number 531.
Thank you.
Please be seated. We come again before God in prayer. Let's pray together. Before you, O God, we offer our prayers, ourselves, our gifts, and our service. We lay these before you in praise and thanksgiving for your many blessings. May these, our offerings, continue the work of your Spirit in and through our congregation. Lord God, we praise you that when we are weak, you are our strength. When we are poor in spirit, you fill us with your joy. When we are hurting, you hold us in your care. We know that no matter what we are trying to cope with or what battles we are fighting, your love is sufficient for all our needs. In that confidence, we can bring the needs of our world, our church, those we care about, and ourselves to you today. We pray for our world, for peace where there is strife, for comfort where there is suffering, and unity where there is discord. We pray for the leaders of the nations, for those in authority and those with influence, that they may serve with wisdom, integrity, and compassion. We pray for your church. In all that we say or do, may we always proclaim your love with joy and enthusiasm. We pray for those who face persecution, who continue to claim the name of Jesus at great risk to their own lives. Grant them your courage and your hope. God, three in one, we pray for those who are troubled in body or mind or spirit. We pray for those who grieve. In their weakness, may they know your strength, and in their despair find hope. Now, in a time of silence, we bring those closest to our hearts to you. Reach out and touch them, Lord, with your hand of healing. Bring them your wholeness and peace. Comfort them with the knowledge that you love them as though they were the only one you had to love. Today we remember with thanksgiving all those whose lives have honored Christ. Help us to follow their example and bring them with us into the fullness of the kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We sing an old favourite, one I'm quite sure you know. When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. It's number 392 in the hymn book, number 392.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. Living God, help us so to hear your word that we may truly understand. That understanding we may believe, and believing we may follow your way in all faithfulness, seeking your honour and glory in all that we do. Amen. This morning, we are looking at Paul's letter to the church at Colossae. The church was founded by Epaphras and other converts from Paul's missionary journeys. It was mainly made up of Gentile Christians. That's Christians who were not formerly Jews. It was under tremendous pressure from the society around it. False teaching was making inroads into the church, so they were not in a good place. Paul begins his letter by emphasizing Christ's place at the center of everything. He is Lord of all creation. He is Lord of the church, and the only one who could bring God and humankind together again. Now, says Paul, it's time to live like that is true and to be thankful. To prove his point, Paul sets out his reasons to be thankful. 1, 2, 3. And we find these in verses 13, 14, and 15 of chapter 2. Reason to be thankful, number one. Jesus brought forgiveness. God did not wait until we were good enough or until we had understood who Christ is for us before Christ showed his love for us on the cross. As Peter puts it, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God knows all of us stand in desperate need of forgiveness. Forgiveness is one of the most exciting and comforting truths to be found in the whole of Scripture, because it's what we need to be made right with God. So when things seemed most hopeless, Christ opened the way for us to receive God's mercy and forgiveness. It is free and available to all who call on his name. The Hebrews believed that the generations who followed Adam were of his seed, that he carried them within his body. The generations who have followed Christ, whom Paul calls the second Adam, were of his seed. And therefore, you and I were carried in his body on the cross. When Christ died, we died with him. So that when Christ was raised from the dead, those who believe in him will be raised and brought into life through him. The visible sign of this for us is baptism. What we see in baptism is a burial and a rising from death. We who were dead in sin are now spiritually alive in Christ. Life in Christ involves forgiveness of everything that might alienate or separate us from God. When God forgives, our sins are dealt with thoroughly. Isaiah tells us that God sees and remembers them no more. They are erased from the records of the past, never to be mentioned again. For as Paul writes in chapter 1, verse 22 of Colossians, now he has reconciled you by Christ's body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. Reason to be thankful. Reason to be thankful, number two. Jesus cancelled our debt. In the New English Version, it says bond, which means debt. Jesus cancelled our debt. Now, we all know that Santa Claus makes a list and checks it twice in order to find out who's naughty and nice. God, on the other hand, makes a list and checks it once. Then he nails it to the cross, where the blood of his Son covers it completely. The list of all our disobedience, shortcomings, and even stupidities is blotted out completely by the blood of his Son. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, one of the greatest ever preachers, said, God has given you a certificate of debt. And on that certificate of debt is written, in the crimson blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, paid in full. Paid in full. That doesn't mean that if you and I sin, God's going to overlook that. But if we turn to him in sincerity and say we're sorry and confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness, as John writes. Paul says in Romans that the law established a code of conduct. And all of us, have failed to live up to that code's holy standard. The price to be paid for sin is death, moral and spiritual death. The Colossians were dead and helplessly lost in their sin, says Paul, just as you and I were before we recognized Christ as Lord and Savior. The love of Christ on the cross has the power to turn sin to repentance, rebellion to surrender, hostility against God into love. The very essence of Christianity is the restoration of our lost relationship with God through forgiveness. It took the sacrificial love of Jesus that we see on the cross to bring the change necessary to allow us to come back to God. Reason to be thankful. Reason to be thankful, number three. Jesus disarmed our eternal enemy. We've already seen that God nails our sins to the cross, the blood of Jesus cancelling our sin debt. But not only that, we learn in verse 15 that on the cross he disarmed principalities and powers. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Satan may have thought he was destroying Jesus on the cross, but instead, Jesus was destroying his power over us. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 says this. Since the children, humankind, you and me, have flesh and blood, he too shared in the humanity so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Satan himself is defeated because of that cross. The Greek word that's translated defeated literally means to make of no effect. It doesn't mean he's destroyed or wiped out. It means he's stripped of any authority or power over us. Reason to be thankful. At the very moment our sin has been washed away by the blood of the Son, sin loses its hold over our lives. There's nothing to which it can cling. The powers of darkness are rendered as powerless as a troop of soldiers chained and conquered. And that's why Peter in his first letter tells us that when Jesus died, he went into hell and told the demonic spirits they no longer had authority over us. If you remember, the Apostles' Creed says, Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell so that you and I need not go there. Thank you, God. And, what does that mean for us? It means that you and I don't need to be bound by sin. We don't have to hold on to guilt or fear. We don't have to conform to this world. In other words, we don't have to fit in to the society that's around us. We don't need to fear death because of Jesus and his cross. Now, you've all been very patient, and I'm so very pleased with all of you. And you have been wondering, what on earth did you give us this piece of paper for this morning? Didn't you? Now, let me invite you just to hold it in your, a piece of paper in your hand just a minute, and I'll ask us a couple of questions, okay? Is there some sin or guilt that's on our mind this morning? Yours and mine. Some fear that's getting in the way of our relationship with God. Is there something in your life and mine that we really want to know is nailed to that cross? The great thing is we don't even have to write these things down because God knows our hearts. So here's what I'm inviting all of us to do this morning. First of all, to think that sin or guilt or fear onto the paper, in the assurance that they are nailed to the cross. And then to fold the paper, recognizing that God has already removed these things from sight and mind, and you can fold them up as many times as you like. Our lovely duty team, who should have little baskets somewhere near them, are going to come and gather up the piece of paper for us. And then we're going to lay them at the foot of the cross. For there's not one of us, and especially not the one speaking, who doesn't need a fresh start. A time to begin again. And then we're going to ask God to allow us to know his forgiveness. To know that there's no need to hold on to sin or guilt or fear. And while we're doing all that, our beloved Tony is going to play some music for us just now. So let's do that just now. We lay our sin, guilt, yes, fear, at the foot of the cross. It is the nature of our loving God to forgive. And he has made it possible by the shed blood of his Son for our sins to be washed away. The cross meets our deepest needs, bringing life with hope and meaning, forgiveness and victory over all that would destroy us. Reasons to be thankful. 1, 2, 3. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that our slate is clean and that we can stand free from the accusation. Allow the full impact of that to fill our heart, mind, and soul. Thank you that you not only forgive, you forget. You have no more memory of the sin that has been put under the blood of Jesus, for you have nailed it to the cross. And Jesus paid our debt in full and removed our sin into the deepest part of the sea of eternity. Be blessed and praised forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. We sing our closing hymn this morning, Lord of Creation, number 500. Before our blessing, just a word of thanks to everyone who's made today's service possible, especially to our organist Tony, who has usually gone above and beyond all that could have been asked of him. Please do stay for a cup of tea. It's a wonderful way of getting to know each other better. And now, let us go with confidence into the days ahead, trusting in God's unfailing love and faithfulness. God will not abandon us, for we are the work of his hands, his own creation. His love endures forever, and may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with us and with those whom we love, now and forevermore.
Thank you.